everyone. We are live. Today is April 9th, 2026, last day of Passover. Welcome to everyone jumping in the United States and around the world. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. We're going to say hi to some people coming in the chat here in just a moment, as people have now been notified that we have gone live. So let's see who is here coming in the United States and around the world. I see Tulsa, Jerusalem, Oklahoma. Hello and God bless you. And Wichita, Kansas as well. And Southern Maryland and Orange County, California. God bless all of you. Madison, Alabama. God bless you. Seymour, Tennessee. Kona, Hawaii. God bless all of you. Hello to our viewers in Hawaii watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. I see Wisconsin as well. I see Caribou, Maine. God bless you. Very happy to have you on tonight. Olathe, Kansas. Hello to our viewers in Kansas and Illinois who are coming on. God bless you. Very happy to have you on. Aurora, Colorado, Western Michigan, Georgia, Utah, Yuma, Texas. God bless all of you, and hello to all of our viewers in Texas. We have a huge audience, praise God, in Texas, and we're very happy to have you on with us tonight. Sebastian, Florida, Indiana, California, God bless all of you. Ontario, Canada, hello to all our Canadian viewers that are coming on. We're very happy to have you on with us. God bless you. Plattsburgh, New York, hello to our neighbors in New York. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. I see West Virginia. Hello to Nancy in Mississippi. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. North Carolina and Quebec, Canada. God bless all of you. Thrilled to have you on with us. Oh, shalom to you on the Crow Reservation in Montana. Thrilled to have, they're actually a tribe, I believe, the Crow. They're American Indians, I believe, last I checked. Someone can confirm that, but hello to you. Thrilled to have you on tonight. I see Brooks, Kentucky, Wyoming, North Dakota. God bless all of you. Hello to our neighbors in Connecticut coming on. God bless you. Happy to have you on with us tonight. Thousand Oaks, California. God bless you. Happy to have you on with us tonight. The Netherlands. Hello to our international audience and our wonderful viewer in the Netherlands who is watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. As well as I see Vermont coming in as well. And Mesquite, Nevada. God bless all of you. Nassau, Bahamas. Hello to our viewers in the Bahamas. Thrilled to have you on with us. Very happy that you are joining us. Long Island. Hello to our wonderful Long Islanders and our wonderful viewers in the boroughs. Very happy to have you on with us. Fairbanks, Alaska. God bless you guys in Alaska who are watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. Let's see. We'll do a few more. UK. Hello to all our viewers in England. God bless you. Very happy to have you on tonight as well. I see Arkansas, St. Louis, Missouri as well. Ireland, hello. God bless you. Thrilled to have you watching us. Hello to all our viewers across Europe who are watching us tonight. Very happy to have all of you on with us as well. And let's see, we'll do a few more here. Durban, South Africa. Hello to our viewers in South Africa who are watching. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight. As well as Oshkosh, Wisconsin. God bless you as well. And Washington State, I see. And I see Orlando, Florida. Hello to all of you and God bless you. Thrilled to have all of you on. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team who are on with us tonight. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So, we have, I'm getting my notes ready here, because this is going to be like taking off out of a cannon, what we have to prophetically talk about tonight. I'm going to open up in prayer, and I am going to give this over to the Lord. We're going to come together, and then we are going to get into tonight, as this is the last night of Passover, and we are watching this showdown continue between the United States and Iran. It runs deeper than you think. We're going to break it all down for you. We're going to go deeper into this with the book of Exodus as well. And so we are just going to open up in prayer. And just for our team to know that I think I'm going to play the first clip right off the bat of the Passover event happening like Purim. So I'm just going to put that as a cue for myself. And we will we'll do that in a few minutes. So let's open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and then we will prophetically get ready to rumble tonight. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We come boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of every way we sin and fall short. We praise you that your mercies are new every single day, that every single day you renew your covenant with us, Father God. And Lord, we praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Father, we praise you that Christ at the cross disarmed principalities and powers. He blotted out ordinances. He made an open spectacle of the enemy before all of creation when he said, "It is finished." And he defeated hell, death, and the grave. He miraculously rose again. He ascended back to be at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your power, your presence, your might, your holiness, Father of God, the weight and conviction of who you are, let it fill this place. Let it mightily go forth, Father. Let people tangibly feel your presence tonight, Father God, that your Spirit would move, that your truth would move, that tonight, Father God, you truly would be our shield and buckler. Order our steps, Father God. Order my words as we go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Order our steps, Father God, as we mightily go forth victoriously in you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Lord, allow me and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, we just praise you and we just ask that your might just go forth tonight, Father God. Lord, that your words would be spoken, Father God. Lord, that your perspective, Father God, would be presented. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, above and below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat, enchantment, smote, witchcraft, dark art, dark magics, and curse of any kind. By the blood of Jesus Christ and by the holy fire of God, we command it all dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it cast out in the name of Jesus Christ to not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself, Lord. You are the potter, we most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. Father, it is your Spirit breathed into us, Father God. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Father, we praise you, Lord, for your righteousness. We praise you for your holiness, Father God. We praise you that you sit on the highest throne, that you judge the matters of men and nations, Father God, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that the earth is your footstool, that the foundations of the earth are held in place, and every star in the sky by the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, Lord. We praise you tonight. We bless your holy name, Father God. We praise you for your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. According to Ephesians chapter 6, Father, I ask you put your whole and complete armor on us this day in the name of Jesus Christ, that the shield of faith would go up in front of us now to quench the fire dart to the wicked one. In the name of Jesus Christ, every arrow being fired at us by the enemy and his agents, let be reversed upon the senders now in Jesus' name. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we command be activated, the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities to now work in our favor, to destroy the snares the enemy attempts to place in our way, to pierce, puncture, dismantle, and destroy every plot, assignment, word, weapon, device, agent, snare, and slanderous campaign, Father God, that the enemy would attempt to deploy at us, to remove every physical and spiritual blockade and embargo that the enemy has attempted to place in our way, to destroy every demonic conspiracy that the enemy attempts to deploy, and to make the way straight for us to walk in the victory, power, authority, and prosperity that the Lord God Almighty has ordained for us, Father God. Lord, help us to align with your word, Father God. We know your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts, Father God. And we praise you tonight, Father God, for your wisdom, Father God, for your power, Lord, and for your truth as we mightily go forth in you. We bless your holy name, Lord. Take all the glory for yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you jumping on during prayer. Thrilled to have you coming on with us tonight as we are going to prophetically get into the showdown. If you could share this broadcast, like and subscribe, we would very, very much appreciate it. It helps us very much, and we are very appreciative to you all for doing that. We are going to get into deeper, because it's the last night of Passover, this showdown that is happening between the United States and Iran during Passover. There are some incredible, incredible insights that we are going to show you tonight that have to do with the alignment, with why this is happening now, with the book of Exodus, with it running parallel. And we're going to prophetically break this all down for you tonight, because after tonight, we enter a 45-day window to Pentecost. And we're going to talk about that as well. So I have a clip for you right off the bat, because I had warned around the time of Purim, when we saw the Ayatollah fall, that if this was the time of alignment, we were going to see events running parallel to the book of Exodus that were going to happen during Passover. And so we're going to play that clip for you now, and then we're going to come back and talk. So we are in a two-year window right now that happens to equal 9/11. And we just witnessed a modern-day Purim prophetically align with the events of the book of Esther. So if this is the year of alignment of that, then Passover this year should align with modern day events from the book of Exodus. So if we've just watched a modern day Purim happen and align this year, and it happened between two blood moons, and now we entered that window between Purim and Passover, we should watch similar when Passover comes, an alignment, a modern day Exodus, a modern day Passover, a modern day deliverance occur, because this is how we are watching this align this year of all years. This is what's happening. And so we are watching that happen. We are watching a deep parallel run between the book of Exodus and Passover and what is unfolding around the Strait of Hormuz. So we're going to break this all down for you. And we want to put up first this Fox News article. We have another clip coming for you, but I want to show you this right off the bat. So President Trump's ceasefire with Iran draws praise from world leaders. And it says in this article that two ships were spotted transitioning the Strait of Hormuz on Wednesday. Now they've tried to reshut it again or charge a toll, but this was Wednesday in the wake of the U.S.-Iran ceasefire deal. It was these two ships were the Liberia-flagged bulk carrier Daytona Beach, first crossed around 2 a.m. Eastern time, followed by the Greek-owned bulk carrier NJ Earth around 3:45 a.m. Okay, the two ships that come through first after this ceasefire are named Daytona Beach and NJ Earth. I'm telling you, Florida and New Jersey, high alert. Something is percolating. Something is moving about in the spirit with a serious attack and a serious incident with leadership in Florida and in New Jersey, because it is not an accident that those were the names of the two bulk carriers that came through the strait first after the ceasefire deal. So what I'm saying is, no matter what they were, if they were meant to be real transits or not, the names of those should give us a red arrow of warning right now when it comes to Florida and New Jersey. So I'm just going to tell you, make a mental note of that and pray as we continue, because that I believe there is something more to this that we are going to watch very shortly unfold. Now, we have another clip for you that is from, I believe, March 9th. March 9th, I had warned about the window of 4-5 to 4-7, how that was going to be a 911 window. And that is when that showdown took place, and they had till 4-7 at 8 p.m., Iran did, to enter a ceasefire deal with the United States of America. And so we're going to play this clip for you now. I believe it's from March 9th, 2026, and then we're going to come back and talk. Within Passover this year, Passover begins early. It begins April 1st this year. You have the dates 4-7 and 4-8 that happen to be in Passover this year, right? 4-7 and 4-8. Right now, we're in the 47th presidency, and the 48th is coming in 2028, right? And 28 happened to be the day that Operation Epic Fury and Roaring Lion, the 28th of February, began, which happens to be our next election as well. But 4-7 and 4-8 of all years, Passover happens to fall early this year, and the next two presidencies in the dates happen to fall within Passover. So I found that very interesting. Resurrection Sunday or Easter happens to be 4-5. Which is interesting as well. So in the dates this year, you actually have two presidencies, and the next presidency represented within the dates of Passover this year. So I find that fascinating that this is all converging in this year. Also, for the dates of April 4-5 and 4-7, which happen to be Trump's presidencies, those equal 9-1-1. Right? 4 plus 5 is 9. 4 plus 7 is 11. So you have a 9-1-1 within the 8-day period of Passover. Within the dates, you have 9-1-1 in there. 4-5 to 4-7. Now, that was back on March 6th. We put it up on the blog on the 9th, I believe. And so this was a month ago that short window was being warned about for a 911, and we actively watched that occur, a high alert moment between the United States and Iran that came down to the wire on 4-7. Very, very interesting. Now, I want to read to you March 17th, 2025, Word of the Lord. This was from March 17th, 2025. I want you to listen to this word. You could go to our blog, our current blog, and you can find this word. Iran is about to be shaken from the ground and the skies. The one who has held the seat for decades is about to fall from their high position. The plots with other communist nations have brought further charges before the throne of God. After such a shaking, hostages in Iran will be released. Just as Egypt was broken at Passover, so shall Iran be. For their crimes are great, and the time of the fullness of their blasphemy has come. The Ayatollah's court shall be sifted. The head of ISIS in Iraq and Syria falling on Purim, which was last year, was the Lord putting all Arab nations on notice of what is to come in this season. The hunter shall become the hunted. So on March 17th, 2025, after such a shaking, hostages in Iran will be released. But just as Egypt was broken at Passover, so shall Iran be for their crimes. And it was on Passover 4-7 that Iran conceded and broke and entered into this ceasefire agreement. We literally watched this whole high-stake showdown happen during Passover. That is not an accident, because this was said over a year ago. I mean, praise the Lord for that. But it is because it is the time of alignment, and we're watching biblical events like Purim and Passover play out and align and run parallel to modern day events that are unfolding within the nations. So we'll continue here because we have a lot to cover. But this, what I'm about to show you here, is fascinating. President Trump said something, and I'm going to show you how this connects to 911. So if we could put up the New York Post article, please. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Trump declares Iran ceasefire deal could lead to golden age of the Middle East. Boasts big money will be made. President Trump expressed optimism Wednesday that the Iran war ceasefire agreement will usher in a golden age in the Middle East. Now, the deal, once again, between Iran and the United States of America was made between 4-5, April 5th, and 4-7, April 7, which equals 9-1-1. 4 plus 5 is 9, 4 plus 7 is 11. It was a 9-1-1 window. Now, to show you how these comments about the golden age of the Middle East tie back to 9-1-1, 9-11, and this Passover 9-1-1, we have to go back to the Battle of Vienna to understand the prophetic cycle that is attempting to come full circle now. So, the Battle of Vienna occurred 9/11, September 11, 1683. The Ottoman Empire, who were the aggressors, called Vienna the Golden Apple. That's what they called it. The Golden Apple. They went to war against the European Christians and lost on 9/11. 1683 in that Battle of Vienna. Now, President Trump, in his ultimatum to Iran, delivered the ultimatum on 4-5 and gave them until 4-7 to make the deal. That equals 9-1-1. Now, to go further, if this is being called the golden age of the Middle East, and Israel is called the apple of God's eye in scripture, they are known in the Middle East as the apple of God's eye. There is your golden apple forming in the Middle East in this time, which means they will attempt to resurrect the Ottoman Empire in this time. And this is in tandem happening with what's happening in the United States of America. What's happening in the United States of America that is similar to this, because it's running tandem. After the election, the 2024 election, President Trump said, America has entered its golden age. So the golden age of America is upon us. After that, Zohran Mamdani, the man who has Haman hidden in his name, is raised up in New York City. New York City is called the Big Apple. There is your symbolic golden apple in America forming, right? That is attached to how the Ottomans viewed these hubs in Europe that they wanted to take over. So there's your symbolic golden apple in America forming. And we are watching the attempted resurrection of the Ottoman Empire in America and now in the Middle East, all within a 2-year window. That equals 9/11. We're watching this happen 2025 to 2027. That 2-year window equals 9/11. 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. 2 plus 2 plus 7 is 11. 9/11. This is all unfolding within that 2-year window. This is no accident. This is a prophetic cycle attempting to establish itself globally for events to come, spoken of in the latter part of Ezekiel and Revelation. So we are watching an attempted resurrection of the Ottoman Empire in the United States of America and in the Middle East. Both, President Trump has said, they've entered their golden age. Both have a place that has to do with the word apple. New York City is the Big Apple. Israel is known as the apple of God's eye. You have your golden apple symbolically now in both areas that are running tandem. Now, these things, the way they happen, is not an accident because, well, first of all, Almighty God, since he created the times and seasons and since he numbered the days, it's interesting to see how these things align. Now, also, the way this unfolded, the 47th president, President Trump, on the day 4-7, April 7th, 4-7, is warning he would take out Iran's power plants, which was during Passover. The Ayatollah's regime reigned 47 years before it was taken down, right? So we're watching the 47th president say 4-7 is the ultimatum, and that is all I'm giving you till 4-7 after 47 years of the Ayatollah came down. So, and because it was between 4-5 and 4-7, this was literally a Passover 9-1-1 and a showdown over a body of water. Now, I'm going to show you the comparison here between the Red Sea and the Strait of Hormuz, because there's an incredible imagery here when it comes to both, that what's happening at the Strait of Hormuz in a way has parallels that run to the Red Sea showdown and the Book of Exodus. Now, in the Book of Exodus, the Passover showdown happens over a body of water, which was the Red Sea, where Pharaoh's army was ultimately decimated. The Lord brings his people to the Red Sea. This is where the showdown happens between Almighty God and Baal, right? And Moses and Pharaoh. This is where it all takes place. Now, from 4-5, April 5th to 4-7, we witness a showdown occur between the United States and Iran over a body of water called the Strait of Hormuz, all during Passover. And then on 4-7, April 7th, the 47th president, Trump, reaches a ceasefire where, like Pharaoh, Iranian leadership concedes after the decimation of their nation. And what happens after the first concession is Pharaoh hardens his heart one more time. So he initially concedes. He agrees to the terms and conditions that Almighty God has put forth through Moses. All the people have to go, all the children have to go, all their livestock have to go. We all have to go. Because remember, Moses and Pharaoh were in heated negotiations. Every time a plague would occur, right? What would happen after that plague occurred? Pharaoh would call them and say, "You can go serve the Lord, but you have to leave your children here." And then the Lord was not accepting those terms. He was not negotiating with the terms he had put forth. So what happens is another plague comes forth. And then Pharaoh calls and the negotiations happen again. Okay, you can take your children with you too, but you have to leave all the livestock. So these heated negotiations were going on between Pharaoh and Almighty God through Moses. And God wasn't compromising. He had set a firm line in the sand, and he wasn't moving off of that line. Now, another way to look at this also, just an interesting side note here. After the Passover occurs in the Book of Exodus, what happens? What happens at Mount Sinai particularly? You have the golden calf incident. So deliverance and then a golden calf where the Jews built an idol of gold after Moses had not come back down from Mount Sinai right away with the law, right? We are now entering a 45-day window. Isn't that interesting? It's 45. Isn't it interesting? 4-5 was Resurrection Sunday. It was the day Christ rose from the dead. It is the day that President Trump put forth the ultimatum as well. And now we have a 45-day window to Shavuot, right, or Pentecost, which is it's Shavuot for the Jews where they received the law, and Pentecost for the Christians where the Holy Spirit came and descended into the earth. So interesting that President Trump is saying they're entering their golden era, because it's interesting he's saying this as we're leaving Passover as well, and now coming into this 45-day period, given what happened at Sinai after the Jews left Egypt. Now, we're going to go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 32, verses 2 through 6. So we're going to get into this even deeper now. And this is what Exodus chapter 32, verses 2 through 6, right? We're in the year 2026. This is what it says. So Aaron replied to them, "Take off the gold rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took the gold from their hands and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now, when Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." Verse 6. So they got up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Golden peace. Golden era, peace deal. Brought peace offerings. Then the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to play shamefully without moral restraint. So what does verse 6 say? After the golden calf is built, here comes the peace. Here comes the peace offering. So when you hear golden and peace together, somehow someone is going to try to build and erect a golden calf, okay? So it's very interesting that we're entering this 45-day window to Shavuot and Pentecost, and now we're hearing about the golden era of the Middle East with peace offerings that are involved in it as well. So I'm just telling you, that is just something to just think about and pray about. Very, very interesting. Now, we have another article for you, and we're going to go back to the book of Exodus here in a moment. U.S. military loading up and resting, Trump says, as Iran tests ceasefire. Oh, they testing it, all right. President Trump says the U.S. military is biding its time Thursday as Iran tests the boundaries of the ongoing two-week ceasefire. Trump says the U.S. will keep troops stationed in the Middle East until a wider peace deal is approved. And Trump warns U.S. forces will stay near Iran until a lasting deal is secured. And he talks about Wednesday night as well, that President Donald Trump said late Wednesday that U.S. forces would remain near Iran until a lasting peace agreement is finalized. In a post on Truth Social, Trump said the U.S. military would be on standby until a real agreement with Iran is secure. And he mentions lethal prosecution in this. He says all U.S. ships, aircraft, military personnel with additional ammunition, weaponry, and anything else that is appropriate and necessary for the lethal prosecution and destruction of an already substantially degraded enemy. Can I tell you the word why that those words are so interesting? At the Red Sea, the Egypt had been severely weakened when Pharaoh let the Jews go. And at the Red Sea, what happened? A prosecution happened between Almighty God against Baal and against Pharaoh. There was a lethal prosecution that occurred against Baal and Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea. And this is being spoken during Passover. Now, I'm going to go down here for a minute here. So today is April 9th, right? Now, these posts come after this two-week ceasefire with Iran was announced on Tuesday. So all of this that I'm reading you now has come after that. Today is April 9th, 2026. It's the last day of Passover, the last day. We enter to Pentecost, which is May 24th, 2026, an exactly 45-day window. 4-5, April 5th, during Passover is when the showdown began between President Trump and Iran, and now we're entering this 45-day window. It's interesting this window is 45 days this year of all years, and I'll tell you why. We are watching potentially the DOJ prepare charges in Russiagate against those who were involved when President Trump was the 45th president. Don't be shocked if within this 45-day window, you see charges having to do with that, or you see an indictment from a grand jury, or you see warrants and searches being executed. Don't be surprised if you see that come in this 45-day window. Now, May 23rd is Shavuot, which is where the Jews received the law at Mount Sinai. May 24th is Pentecost. Why is that important? Well, just an interesting side note to show you. 23 plus 24 equals 47. And isn't that interesting how that aligns, being that we are in the 47th presidency? So that was just a side note to show you. However, what happens? So Pharaoh initially concedes and lets the people go. He submits to the negotiations, the hard negotiations from Almighty God and the parameters he lays out. He lets the people go initially in the book of Exodus. However, what happens? Pharaoh's heart was hardened one more time after the concession. And he came out after the people of God at the Red Sea, where ultimately Pharaoh's power and army were completely destroyed. And there was a lethal prosecution that occurred against them and against Baal at the Red Sea. If this is running parallel to the Passover account, we may see one more showdown at the Strait of Hormuz, literally, or surrounding it, and Iranian leadership hardening their hearts one more time and coming out to challenge the concession and challenge the original parameters of the original deal. Pharaoh challenged the parameters of the deal of what was set forth by Almighty God. He came back out with his whole army to challenge it. Body of water. We are all watching this occur on Passover over a body of water. And that is what happened at the Red Sea. Passover over a body of water, that showdown occurs. Now, when we go to Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. So it happened, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearer, it was closer. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war. Isn't that interesting? For God said, I'm not going to lead them this way because the people may change their minds when they see war. What has happened in this country? When they thought we were going to war with Iran, when people saw war, you had a bunch of conservative pundits and others completely changing their minds and wanting to back it all up. The people might change their minds when they see war and return where? To Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. The sons of Israel went up in battle array out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had solemnly ordered the Israelites, saying, God will assuredly take care of you, and you must carry my bones away from here with you. They journeyed from Sukkah in Goshen and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. Verse 21, the presence of the Lord was going before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they could travel by day and by night. He did not withdraw the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from going before the people. Exodus 14 verses 1 through 17. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp in front of Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. It was a setup. I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians shall know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord. And they did so. Verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people, and they said, what is this that we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us. So Pharaoh harnessed horses to his war chariots. Now this is verse 6. Pharaoh harnessed horses to his war chariots and took his army with him. And he took 600 chosen war chariots and all the other war chariots of Egypt with fighting charioteers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites as they were leaving confidently and defiantly. The Egyptians chased them with all the horses and war chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea, besides Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very frightened, so the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What is this that you have done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians as slaves than to die in the wilderness. So they're turning and blaming Moses and Almighty God for bringing them out there. And they basically saying we would have rather been slaves than have to go through this to be free. Verse 13, then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. Then the Lord will fight for you. While you keep silent and remain calm, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward toward the sea. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, so that the sons of Israel may go through the middle of the sea on dry land. As for me, hear this, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will go in the sea after them, and I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army and his war chariots and his horsemen. That is the account right there out of the book of Exodus chapter 13. Now, interestingly enough, before Israel leaves Egypt, 10 plagues were exacted on the Egyptians. April 2026 is the 10th month since the June 2025 bombing of Iran. And in the 10th month during Passover, that in the account of Exodus had 10 plagues, they are negotiating a 10-point peace plan. Do you see the pattern? This is coming after Purim, marked by a blood moon, and the Ayatollah's regime falling, Purim from the book of Esther, which took place in Iran, which had 10 chapters, and Haman had 10 sons. There is definitely a pattern that has been forming since Purim when it comes to Esther and Exodus and the number 10. 10 months since Iran was bombed in June. Passover had 10 plagues. There's a 10-point peace plan. Book of Esther had 10 chapters. Haman had 10 sons. There is a definite pattern here that is unfolding. Now, I'm going to show you something fascinating. We'll go to Exodus 14, verse 2. I'm going to read it first. It says, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp in front of Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon, opposite it by the sea. What is hidden in this scripture is so amazing. because it is giving a location. It is giving a location by the sea. It mentions Baal in it. It mentions where they camped. It has to do with the Passover account. Let me show you what's hidden in Exodus 14:2. This is what you can spell from this particular scripture verse. Strait of Hormuz, battle, Iran, Israel, United States, Pesach, which is Passover in Hebrew, 2026. You can spell this hidden within Exodus 14:2, battle at the sea, right? Camping and coming and a battle that is about to ensue over a body of water and Baal is about to get called out. From this scripture verse, you can spell Strait of Hormuz, battle, Iran, Israel, United States, Pesach, 2026. Do you know what the odds are that hidden within this particular scripture, this would be there? Unless it's written by a divine being that is far outside of space and time, who is Almighty God, El Shaddai, Adonai, Yahweh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Word of God, I believe, runs way deeper than we think. It is a futuristic book. It is not a book that was written in the ancient and has nothing to do with now. It was a book that was written in the ancient by Almighty God, who is outside of space and time. He was already in the future speaking to us in the present. And I believe hidden within the Word are the events of the future that are getting unlocked in this time. It's fascinating, but I believe there's something to this, and I believe there's something to this that the Bible is layered with events that haven't even happened yet, that are hidden within Scripture, because only a divine being then could have done that. An almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing divine being named Almighty God. Now, in the book of Exodus, the place by the Red Sea that they camped was called Baal Zephon, because the Lord was calling out Baal at the Red Sea. This was a judgment not only on Egypt and Pharaoh, this was a judgment against Baal. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to show you why in a few minutes. But with the Strait of Hormuz and what's unfolding, there is a similar thread we are going to look at between the camping at Baal Zephon and what is unfolding at the Strait of Hormuz on Passover. So let me show you this. The Strait of Hormuz comes from Persian etymology that is derived from the Zoroastrian false god Hormuz or Ahura Mazda. So where Hormuz comes from, it is derived from the false Zoroastrian god, Hormuz, which leads back to Ahura Mazda. Now, who was this false god, Ahura, H-U-R-A, Mazda, like the car? They called him the principal god, and they called him a sky deity. Okay, so he's a principal god, he's a sky deity, and he is he is where Hormuz gets its name. So you have this false god who is a sky deity, and that's what's connected to Hormuz. Now, how does this connect to Baal Zephon and Baal and the camping at the Red Sea? Well, Baal was called Rider of the Clouds, right? That's one of the things he was called. He was associated with rain, lightning, and wind. So the sky. Baal was associated with what comes from the sky. Hormuz, which ties back to Ahura Mazda, is a false sky deity. Baal is known, right? He's called Rider of the Clouds, and he's known for rain, lightning, and wind besides fertility. Now, you have two bodies of water, the Strait of Hormuz and the Red Sea at Baal Zephon, and there are both false deities associated with the sky that are connected to both. And where the Jews are taken out of Egypt, they're taken to that place called Baal Zephon. When God leads the Israelites out from Egypt, he doesn't lead them by way of the Philistines because they would have been afraid of a fight because they were still slaves at this point. They were not trained fighters. God took the people out of Egypt, but then he had to still take Egypt out of the people. So the Lord leads them between two mountains at Pi Hahiroth, penned up against the Red Sea, opposite a place called Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon was a place that was named for the creation myth. And this was the myth, the Canaanite mythology. Baal dwelled on Mount Zephon, right? And what they believed about Baal is that he came to power by going to war against a tyrant god called Yam, Y-A-M-M, who was a sea serpent false god, probably similar to Leviathan. And Baal smashes this god in the head, splits apart the body of this serpent, and then uses that to form other things. But Baal becomes the chief god by defeating the sea. So the way they believe Baal came to power is he defeated the sea, because he defeated that serpent god who lorded over the sea. And what did he do to him? He ripped him apart. So when God takes his people to Baal Zephon, what does the Lord literally do there? He is going to take the actual sea, the Red Sea at Baal Zephon, which, by the way, the Hebrew word for sea is Yam, Y-A-M, and the Lord rips the sea apart. And it's a demonstration. Just as he humiliated all of Egypt's gods through the 10 plagues, the Lord knows the promised land he is taking his people to is Canaanite territory, where Baal rules supreme. And the Lord wants the Israelites to see that it is him, not Baal, that is the chief god, but that he, the Lord, is indeed the chief god. And it is putting then the Canaanites on notice that there is a god greater than Baal, and his name is Almighty God. So at the Red Sea, the Lord was calling out Baal, putting Baal on notice, making a spectacle of Baal by splitting the sea, delivering the people of God, literally ripping the sea apart, which this will then get back to the Canaanites, that another god, the god of the Israelites, has humiliated Baal and defeated Baal at Baal Zephon by doing even greater than what Baal could do. This is why he brought them there. He brought them to Baal Zephon. This is why he ripped the sea apart. This is why he did it the way he did, because he wanted not only Egypt to see it before he took them out. He wanted the Israelites to realize that he is far greater than Baal, and he wanted the Canaanites to realize that there is a God far greater than their God, and he's coming for their territory. And now during Passover, at the Strait of Hormuz, a body of water, Hormuz being derived from a sky deity, this is where the showdown happens, which parallels Baal Zephon, who is another deity associated with the sky, and that showdown at the Red Sea. So you're watching a showdown over two bodies of water that both have to do with deities associated with the sky. We are watching these very profound patterns unfold during Passover. Remember, the showdown at the Red Sea was at Passover. The showdown over the Strait of Hormuz was at Passover. So this is running parallel. After we watched a modern day Purim in Iran, we are watching over a body of water a modern day showdown occur on Passover. And we are watching the concession that happened on 4-7. And according to the book of Exodus, Pharaoh hardened his heart one more time and came out with his entire army to Baal Zephon and the Red Sea to try to overtake Israel. So the contention that is building over the Strait of Hormuz, do not be surprised if there is a literal showdown at the Strait in that body of water, a literal incident that occurs because Pharaoh hardened his heart one more time and came after the people of God. And we watch the original concession, and if this is following and paralleling Passover, we are going to watch something very similar unfold when it comes to this. Now, praise the Lord. I want to show you this too, because this is something else that I'm tracking closely. We're going to put up the article here. And Trump to send J.D. Vance to Pakistan for Iran talks on Saturday, says the White House. The White House on Wednesday informed that Donald Trump has decided to send Vice President J.D. Vance to Pakistan to lead Iran ceasefire talks in Islamabad on Saturday. Let me just ask everyone a question. Do we find it odd that these talks are occurring in a city that has the word Islam and bad in it? Islam bad. Literally, the talks are happening in a city that has the words Islam and bad in it. Do we find that a little odd? That's what's unfolding. Okay, let's continue this. The White House on Wednesday informed that Donald Trump has decided to send Vice President J.D. Vance to Pakistan to lead Iran ceasefire talks in Islamabad, Islamabad, on Saturday. Islam is Ishmael. This is a negotiation with the wild man Ishmael. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand shall be against him. He shall be a wild donkey of a man. This is the negotiation in Islamabad with Ishmael. This is the showdown with Ishmael, the wild man. The wild man whose hand is against every man and every man's hand is against his. Addressing the media, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said, VP has played very significant and key role in this since the very beginning. Of course, he's the president's right-hand man. He's been involved in all of these discussions. And as I just announced, he'll be leading the new phase of negotiations in Islamabad. Islamabad. Interesting. Now, 6 weeks ago, President Trump looked the American people in the eye directly, and he told them that he launched this operation to take out the imminent threat that was posed by Iran. And that threat has now been greatly destroyed, Karoline Leavitt said. 6 weeks ago. Six. Now, there was something about this meeting in Pakistan, in Islamabad, and this six-week marker that struck me. And I went back to Nehemiah chapter 6 to take a good look at it, considering where the meeting has been determined to take place. And I'm going to read to you Nehemiah 6, verses 1 through 13, to show you that something is percolating, something is going on, and there's something on the move. Nehemiah 6, verses 1 through 13. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although at the time I had not set up doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent word to me saying, come, let us meet together at Chepharim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to meet with you? They sent word to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same way the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Verse 6, in it was written, it is reported among the neighboring nations, and Geshem is saying that you and the Jews are planning to revolt. And that is the reason you are rebuilding the wall. And according to these reports, you are to be their king. Also, you have appointed prophets to make a proclamation concerning you in Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now these things will be... Now, listen to this. There is a king in Judah, and now these things will be reported to the Persian king, Iran. So come now, and let us consult together. I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done. You are inventing them in your own mind. See, we think fake news is new. It wasn't. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. And we're going to keep going. Verse 10. When I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, because they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee in fear and hide? Should someone like me enter the temple to save his life? I will not go. Then I realized that God had not sent him, but he spoke this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I would be frightened and do as he said and sin, so that they would have grounds to make a malicious report in order to censor and disgrace me. They are going 6 weeks in to Pakistan, to Islamabad, to have this meeting. And they tried to lure Nehemiah into something similar. Who tried to do it? The Arabs. The Arabs were the one, in order to stop the work that was happening, tried to lure him in to this meeting. And Nehemiah says, but they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to meet with you? They wanted Nehemiah to go to their turf. That's what they wanted. They weren't coming to meet with Nehemiah on his turf. They wanted Nehemiah to go to their turf and have the meeting where they had a great advantage. Five times they tried to get him to go. And they tried to bring people to speak falsities in order to lead Nehemiah into a trap. This is the 6 week mark since this all began. 6 weeks, Nehemiah 6. The stakes are very high, and these men better go in prayed up. That's all I have to say. They better go into this prayed up, because they are going to deal with territorial spirits right now that don't want to let go of the area. And they are going in to a place called Islamabad, Islamabad, and they're being deployed into that place. They're going to their turf. The Arabs have set the meeting. They've set this meeting. And what I'm saying is, there's something with this meeting that is off. There's something off with this meeting. Very off. Something about it does not feel right. And they're going into this meeting in the 45-day window between Passover and Shavuot and Pentecost is when this meeting will take place. And if the Arabs have said it, and you've got the Pakistanis that are setting it, and they're all saying, come to us and reason. That is cause to look at what happened in Nehemiah 6 and really begin to pray about how and on what terms should you even have such a meeting? Because they're setting the terms in their place. It is their home turf. They are, the Arabs are setting it, and they're trying to call the Trump administration into that. And Pakistan is the one that is fervently pushing this, along with other nations standing behind it. But Pakistan is fervently pushing this meeting 6 weeks in to this conflict, right after Passover, in the 45-day window between Passover and Shavuot and Pentecost. This is when it's taking place. And in Nehemiah 6, this entire account, it was the Arabs that said, come, let us meet together at Chefarim in the plain of Ono, but they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to meet with you? All I'm saying is careful consideration has to be given to this meeting. They have to go in to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. They have to go in understanding that there is a great territorial war in the realm of the spirit over Iran right now. The prince of Persia, the principality that oversees Iran, does not want to let it go. The principality that oversaw Egypt did not want to let those people go. The principality that oversees Iran does not want to let those people go. That underground church that is in Iran is a key to all of this. The intercession that is coming up from it. And this meeting, they have to have precision that can only come from Almighty God, because I feel like this is a trap. There is something about this meeting that is a snare. And that is a trap. And they're a little too eager, the Sanballats, the Tobias, the Geshem, the Arabs, to get the Trump administration to meet on their turf in Islamabad. Islamabad. They're a little too eager to get them over there. And when I see that, in the midst of what is happening, I say, high alert. Pray, be watchmen, intercede and pray for this meeting, because there's something about it. There's something off about either who's involved or how this is being planned or what Iran is going to plot during the meeting. Something's off. So I'm just going to say intercede and pray for these men as they go in, because This is high stakes. This is a showdown. This has biblical parallels. You're watching biblical cycles. You're watching a battle over a body of water. You're watching an original concession that then once again they're going to harden their hearts. And we may see an actual conflict in the Strait of Hormuz at that body of water. Because that is the Exodus account. And we're watching these parallels happen. So continue to watch this unfold as we watch this over the next weeks unfold, because I believe there's going to be way more twists and turns in this than we think. So I wanted to say that to you. I have to give you a very serious update on Missy, so I'm going to give that to you in a minute. I want to put Brace for Impact up. The prophecy that I read tonight about Iran and Passover is in this book. We praise the Lord. It's a top new release. It's number one in Christian prophecies right now. It is out everywhere books are sold. So if you go to arcofgrace.org, you'll see this picture and you can click on the link. It's available now, so you'll get it in a couple of days or so. So it's out of pre-order. It is out everywhere books are sold. And you can click on the link and you can buy Brace for Impact. It goes all the way up to 2028, this book, prophetically. And it is... It does talk about Iran. It talks about many other things in this book, too. But we truly are in this time bracing for impact. So if you can go and get it anywhere books are sold. They do have it on Audible, too, if you like to listen to audiobooks. It is an audiobook as well. And you could go to arcofgrace.org and click on the link from there. And you will have it probably within a couple of days or so because it is out. And we praise the Lord for that. Okay, the update on the two, Miriam and Missy. So I'll do Miriam first, and then we'll do Missy. So Miriam was an emergency case we took in. She is 17 years old. She was abandoned by her owners at the house. The owners moved, and they abandoned her, and we got a frantic call from the realtor, and our team went and got her. We got her to the vet. I named her Miriam because Miriam was Moses' sister and she was brought to us on Passover. The vet is saying that Miriam is not only 17 years old, she's fighting a lumbosacral spine condition where she is going to need injections every month to deal with this condition that can be degenerative in nature. She actually walks bow-legged because of it. So we have her. She's safe. She is in our guest bedroom. She is warming up to all of us, and we may be putting her up for adoption. So we may be looking to adopt to a local family that's willing to take on a 17-year-old cat and the injections every month that are needed. We are open to that. So we are just trying to get her right now healthy and make sure that she is happy. And so she was an emergency case that we took in. And then Missy. I'm going to tell you the situation with Missy because we're going to get a second opinion. But Missy went to the surgeon today. And the surgeon said they would have to remove quite a bit of skin in order to clear out the rest of the cells that they believe, right, are cancerous in nature. And it would be very tight for them to close the wound. So if they could close it, Missy would have to be sedated and still for weeks. But if they can't close it, she's going to have an open wound left with bandages on it that then she would not be able to move much and she would have to be sedated until the wound came back together. These are the options they're giving us right now. And then they said they were considering doing 8 rounds of injectable chemo, which our whole team was very upset about. So we are going to get a second opinion for Missy. We are going to explore to a holistic vet and see the help we can get there too. We are taking her to another incredible animal hospital that has a great oncology unit in order to make sure that we get a second opinion on this. Our own vet encouraged us to get a second opinion on this. And we are also hoping to talk to a holistic vet in order to discuss our options. So if you could please pray for Missy, because we absolutely love Missy and Chris adores her. And I know God is more than able. I have seen him move in the miraculous and incredible ways in my life, in Chris's life, in the lives of these animals. And so right now, that is the situation with Missy. We are not going to move fast in this. We are going to get a second opinion. We are going to pray, and we are going to come to the best outcome for Missy. So if you could keep her in prayer, you could go to arcofgracesanctuary.org. If you would like to help, you can go there. We are going to ask the vet about some other medications as well, the holistic vet. So we already had her record sent to one. And we are going to have an appointment with this vet and see what we can do. So please keep her in prayer as we go through this, and keep Chris in prayer as we go through this with Missy, because this has been not easy on him emotionally. It's not been easy on me, but I'm used to dealing with things like this. So, and I'm trusting the Lord in this. He wants me to trust him with Missy, and I'm trusting him with Missy and her life. And so We thank you for your prayers, your concern. If you would like to send Missy Get Well cards, you can, and maybe we can show some on air. If you would like, we can, our address, if you go to arcofgrace.org/events, our mailing address is there. And you can send Missy Get Well cards if you want. Chris would love to see those. And we'll show some, too, on the live. So we would love to show them as well and take pictures with them and put that out. So that's where you can go. And we also have our address there, and we have other ways you can help. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/events. I promised you all I would update you, and that's the update. Pray for our team, too. They love Missy. This is hard on them also. Our sanctuary staff team, and we are just going to, we're going to walk through this with the Lord is exactly what we are going to do, and continue to pray for little Miriam, because the Lord brought her to us at 17 and with this condition. And so we are getting her all the care she needs for that as well. Like I said, this was an emergency case. The cat was completely abandoned with nowhere to go with this condition. So we're happy to have little Miriam, and we will see if we can adopt her out. We're going to put Givaderm up quick. This is Givaderm. They're backed by popular demand. Free shipping if you purchase $100 or more. You can use promo code, I believe it's ARC10, I think. ARC10 is the promo code. And these women love the Lord. They make an amazing product. It's all natural. It is food for your face. I use Givaderm products twice a day on my face, because what we put into our skin goes into our body. And so we have to be careful what we are using in the day and age of chemicals and fillers. This is an all-natural product that actually works and is incredible and is created by women who absolutely love the Lord. So if you go to arcofgrace.org/ ministry-partners, you will find Givaderm. You can get the free shipping and use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. And then we have the Wellness Company. If you are looking for products that have to do with cleanses, the ivermectin membendazole cleanse, if you are looking for other products that have to do with appetite, that have to do with supplements, that have to do with your overall wellness, you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. You can click on the Wellness Company, use promo code GRACE for a discount, and they actually have quite an array, the Wellness Company, of products that you can choose from, that you can use. They have toothpaste as well. If you're looking for a more all-natural toothpaste, they have that as well. So, and they also have the cleanses. They have as well the appetite supplement as well. So if you could go there, you can look. They make amazing products, and we encourage you to do so. So go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners today and click on the Wellness Company. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's where we're going to end this for tonight. We will see what happens over the weekend. You never know. If something happens, something erupts, you know, you never know, a volcano could erupt over the weekend even. We will come on over the weekend. If not, most likely you will see us live on Monday, so we will announce that for you. We will be putting out shorts the rest of the week as well. So as always, at the end, we want to encourage you in the word. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have other Psalms up there for you to speak, to get into the habit of speaking, into the habit of knowing the word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we need to speak it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say those scriptures every single day before bed, as well as Matthew 6, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way, the Lord's Prayer. The order of that prayer is so important to our prayer walk. So I encourage you to incorporate that in to your prayer life, as well as Hebrews 11, incredible chapter on faith. Those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As well as the book of Exodus right now, read the whole account of Exodus where it goes through the deliverance, the Passover, the golden calf gate, what happened with the golden calf when the law was received at Sinai, the battles they went through. For this time, I would strongly encourage you to read the book of Exodus as well. So thank you to everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you to our team for coming on. We love you. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we will see you back live early next week. Keep the faith, everyone. God bless.